This morning, by God's grace, I want to bring a word which I do believe the Lord has quickened to me to bring. I thought I'd be continuing on relationships, but I have a word which I've entitled, Standing Our Ground. Standing Our Ground. Would you turn in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles and chapter 11? 1 Chronicles chapter 11. If you have a church Bible, it's on page 368. 368. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. We're going to read the first 14 verses of 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Let us read for our instruction. Then all Israel came together to David at Hebron, saying, Indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. Also, in time past, even when Saul was king, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And the Lord your God said to you, You shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over my people Israel. Therefore, all of the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel, according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is in Jebus, where the Jebusites were, the inhabitants of the land. But the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, You shall not come in here. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, that is, the city of David, Jerusalem. Now David said, Whoever attacks the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went up first and became chief. Then David dwelt in the stronghold. Therefore they called it the city of David, which is Jerusalem. And he built the city around it from the millow to the surrounding area. Joab repaired the rest of the city. So David went on and became great, and the Lord of hosts was with him. Now these were the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, with all Israel, to make him king, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men whom David had. Jashobeam, the son of a Hakmonite, chief of the captains, he had lifted up his spear against 300, killed by him at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahite, who was one of the three mighty men. He was with David at Pasdamin. Now there the Philistines were gathered for battle, and there was a piece of ground full of barley. So the people fled from the Philistines. But David and Ishiah stationed themselves in the middle of that field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. The word of the Lord, standing our ground. Firstly, it'd be necessary to conduct just a very brief history review, if you like. At this moment in time, the people of Israel had suffered a very heavy defeat at the hands of the enemy. They had been overrun. They had been slaughtered and lost possession of land because of the Philistines. And their king and the heirs to the king had been killed. Their cities were now being invaded by another force. And this is something very well reflected in the previous chapter. In 1 Chronicles and chapter 10 and verse 6 we read, Saul and his three sons died. All of his house together, they were killed, the king and his heirs. And when all of the men of Israel who were in the valley saw that this murder had taken place, they fled. And that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook their cities, they scarpered and fled. Then the Philistines came and dwelt in them. So they were now being overrun by the enemy. They saw what had happened. They had seen the destruction. So they thought, we're no match for these Philistines. We're no match for the enemy. Let's forsake our post. Go. They can take over. Let's give it to them. Our lives are too precious. Because Saul had not remained faithful to the Lord in all things, his kingdom was defeated. And of course, the kingdom was turned over to David. And now with this event occurring, David is the ruler over all Israel. And that's clearly stated in the preceding chapter, chapter 10 and verses 13. Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. But he did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. Unfaithfulness will bring defeat. Unfaithfulness will bring defeat. You'll be a loser until you repent. Now this brings us to our point, and our text is taken in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 11. Eleazar was with David at Pasdamin. Now there the Philistines were gathered for battle, and there was a piece of ground, an allotment, full of barley. So the people fled from the Philistines. But these two stationed themselves in the middle of that field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. What we find in these verses that we're looking at today is David doing battle against the Philistines. And of course, a more graphic description of that is found in 2 Samuel and chapter 23, and I'll read from 2 Samuel 23. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned to him only to plunder. Now, I guess there'll be some of you here this morning thinking, what on earth has this got to do with me? What has this got to do with Crawley New Life Church? What has this got to do with a place where I'm working, going to school? What's this got to do? Hey, Jim, you're saying you think you've heard from the Lord? He's a message. God's got a message for us. I can't make sense of this. Let's listen. I ask you to think again. I ask you to have your ears, your spiritual ears and eyes open to what the Lord might be saying to you and to this fellowship, to me. On a daily basis, friends, on a daily basis, we confront a powerful force. There's a powerful force at work. We do battle against a very powerful enemy that seeks to do the same things with us, the same things in your life, the same things in this fellowship that the invading forces sought to do against the people of Israel. What they're trying to do is seek to evict and to take you and me, this church, away from God's word and the promises. How often you and me are being robbed because we've allowed to be plundered by the enemy. And it's almost as if we're saying, did your word say? We take our eyes off the Lord, we see the enemy, and we retreat. We're almost giving him carte blanche to take over, just as happened here. Of course, this battle is clearly defined, isn't it, in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 6. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. As we see here, friends, our battle is not against flesh and blood. In other words, it's not against people, it's not against governments, it's not against religious institutions. The battle that you and I face is against the powers of darkness. Powers that seek to destroy the blessings of God that he has given us, and also to destroy the house of God. That is their intention. To destroy the house of the Lord. Our enemy is relentless in his attack. He will not hesitate to use anything or anyone to seek to accomplish his purpose. Even the people of God, if he can get them on his side, unwittingly to destroy and destroy fellow man, the work of the Lord. This is why we read again in the New Testament and 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, be vigilant. Be sober, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour, whom he can plunder. Of course, that is a very good reason why we should always be on our guard. We should always be alert to what is going on around us. And within us. And we must be ready to fight. We must be ready to stand our ground. Or else it will be taken from us. Spiritual powers are at work to destroy marriage. If we don't stand our ground, the enemy will gain a victory. We have to cooperate with the Lord. We have to communicate, speak to one another, encourage one another, build one another up, rather than following, oh well, this is the way it's going to be. The spirit of the age, the powers of darkness. It will happen in church. Someone can offend somebody else, and instead of just dealing with it, they take offense. The enemy gets in and he's won a battle. These things should not be. For weeks I preached, grow up. Grow up. The enemy is lurking around. Take your stand in Jesus. Love one another dearly. Don't be like a babe. Nurture yourself on the word of the Lord. Esteem one another. Instead, the enemy comes in. We act like a baby. And chaos reigns. God is not glorified. He warned us from the pulpit. He's been so gracious to us. Now, we must make sure the enemy does not plunder us again. We are not unaware of the devil's schemes. We must be on our guard. And what this verse speaks of is David and Eliezer holding on to a barley field, holding on to a small plot of land against the onslaught of the Philistine troops. Everyone else may have retreated. Everyone else may have scarpered. But they were determined not to give any ground to the enemy. Most people's resolve had been weakened. Almost, it seems, non-existent. When it came to defending the faith and truth, most people's resolve to die is weakened. The majority keep quiet. They retreat. Retreating is preferable to defending the truth and the biblical gospel. And you and we can be swept along with a worldview that is not biblical. We can imbibe the spirit of the age. We have an enemy. We have the weakness of the flesh. This is why we come together. Feed on the word of God that we might be strengthened, that we may take on board, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God. And we can look at an issue. We can feel so powerless to stand against it, or just go with the flow. What's going on in your life? What's going on in church life that maybe you think, well, it's just a small thing, it's insignificant. I shan't deal with it. What habit do you have? That the enemy has now taken residence. As a church, it cost us because we seek to stand for biblical truth. It's interesting that we've read about a great victory that David had because he stood for truth. He defended. A great victory he had. But you know, David's biggest problems weren't from the enemy without. His turmoil didn't come from opposing forces. It came from within. And part of his problem was he didn't discipline his children. That's part of his problem. What is happening today? Kids just do what they like. I don't blame them. Where's the boundaries? And if it feels good, do it. And we live in the results of that. But David here stands his ground. As a church, we must defend the truth. Whether we're marginalized or not. Because we can take the attitude. You can take an attitude with perhaps what's going on at work. Or perhaps going on in the office, or in your family, or at school, or at college. Well, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. Why should I stir up, as it were, opposition? We don't wish to be marginalized, so we don't have the stomach to be ridiculed or mocked. So that we even take on the mantle of negotiators. Let's strike a deal so we don't oppose the enemy. What happens, friends, in your life and in the lives of churches, the enemy just gets bolder. The more ground we give, the more bold he becomes. And we are weakened by our cowardice. I've been there. Look, I come as one who's given ground, who has compromised, who has been weak when I should have been strong in the Lord. I've made bad decisions. And it is only because of the mercy of God that I can stand and you are here today. We learn from these things. I am determined, with God's help, not to give further ground. I want to stand my ground, even if it is just a small patch of barley. I hope that is your friends. Friends, the enemy will not stop short and agree on our terms. He will never, in your life, whatever you've come up against, and if you think, well, I'll compromise and I'll make a few adjustments, but Satan will convince us that we could go so far and, yeah, that's all right. You can forgive him. Grace abounds. Hey, Satan never agrees on our terms. He's not content with a partial victory. Satan is never content with a partial victory. He intends your destruction and the destruction of God's house. That is why we must stand. That is why as a church and as individuals we must boldly proclaim the truth and defend even those things which others might consider unimportant. And then the promise of God. I'm building my church. Hallelujah. The gates of hell. God is almighty, all powerful. The enemy has much power. The powers of darkness, the powers of wickedness in the high places which we've read of. This is real. It's driving governments, is driving institutions, churches, families that are at work. But we have been singing some precious songs. We read it in our opening scripture. We've been delivered. We're no longer enslaved to sin by his grace. I'm free. I'm free. So why go back to these beggarly things? Proverbs 27 says, In the paths of the wicked lie thorns and snares. But he who guards his soul stays far from them. Don't give ground to the enemy. Retreat from the enemy. Let's return to our story then. David and Eliezer were defending what would be a very small portion of land. And this portion of ground, this allotment, was full of barley. They weren't defending a huge city. They weren't defending Jerusalem. They were defending a small plot of land. It was just some barley in a field they were defending. Everyone else had gone, that fled. And now the Philistines were on their way. And the reasoning of the people was, let's take the easy option. Rather than defend this piece of ground and possibly risking our lives, let's just give it over to the Philistines. Let's give it over to them. But what do David and Eliezer decide to do? They stay. They fight. They stand their ground, even risking their lives in order to defend a small piece of ground of barley. They stand their ground. While others were leaving what they thought was a sinking ship, they hadn't realized that God was going to demonstrate a mighty victory on their behalf. He was going to bring a great deliverance. Those who scarpered never enjoyed that. They were defeated in the end. But David and Eliezer, were they just risking their lives for some barley? Were they just risking their lives for some barley? No. It was the principle that they were determined not to give up. It was the principle that they were not going to give any ground to the enemy, however significant or insignificant it might seem to be. David was clear in his mind. We leave nothing to the Philistines. We leave nothing to the enemy. He was clear. We leave nothing. They purposed in their hearts they would not give anything to the enemy. They purposed in their hearts. Friends, what resolve have you got to make this morning? For too long, the enemy has had his hand on that part of my life, my part of my relationship, my work, my family. I gave him an inch. He took a yard. He then took a meter. And then a mile. It all only started with an inch. What ground does the Lord want to restore to you this morning? What does he want to restore in your life? Say, but that I was an utter failure then, Jim. I'm really messed up. I realise now that I've given up and I can't. It's as if God's not hearing me, as if I've no power to get back to where I want to be. Do you know that's a good place to be? You won't find the mercy of God until you're desperate. God is merciful. God is gracious. If you know that you're in a relationship or you've allowed sin in your lives, or if you've allowed compromise that has weakened you, it's not too late. If you've given ground to the Philistines because you felt at the time, well, it's insignificant, it's not worth fighting for. Even if you said things which now you can't take back, God is the restorer of my soul. God is the restorer. What victory in your life, what victory in this church is God going to now do? Because we've woken up to the fact that we did retreat. I wonder, who's in faith this morning? Who is in faith? Who has for too long seen the opposition and not Jesus? I said the enemy wants to take us away from the promises and put all things which will destroy, to negate God's word and God's work in our lives. Who's determined this morning to focus on Jesus? Who's determined this morning that they're going to show forgiveness to where they were offended? Who's determined to say sorry? What have you been robbed of? What peace have you been robbed? Because you acted in the flesh. Or you did it what was in the right. But now it's time to be reconciled. Where are you compromising in your life? Habits. It's time to stand and fight, not in your own strength, but with the armour that God's giving you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What have you given up on, which God actually wants to give you back? What have you allowed the enemy to plunder? Where Satan take advantage over you? Even if it seems such a little thing of no great importance. Like the field of barley. Let's determine with God's help that we're going to leave nothing for the enemy to exploit. The word of Hebrews says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily besets us. Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. God wants us on, following him in his pathway. In the church today, I speak generally of church. Little by little, ground is being given up, friends. A retreat is going on. There is a retreat, a running away from biblical truth, of biblical values. The fight for good, the fight for righteousness, the fight for truth, what is right is being weakened and diminished, and Satan has taken advantage. And it is time to do battle for truth and righteousness. Horrific things are going on in the church today, Andrew Strom, on his latest posting, is bold enough at this stage to name people and ministries which he is saying, hey, if you are listening to these people, or if you've had hands laid on by these people, you've imbibed a wrong spirit, you've imbibed a detestable thing. He names them. The Apostle Paul names certain people. It is for our protection. There are horrendous things going on within the so-called Church of Jesus Christ today. We must not give ground. We must stand our grounds, friends. Hallelujah. And also pray that the Lord will be merciful. Satan has taken advantage of many, but it is time to do battle for truth and righteousness. What does, in conclusion, verse 14 tell us? They stationed themselves in the middle of that field. They defended it and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. The Lord brought about deliverance. That is an essential truth for us to take hold on. When we stand our ground, when we don't compromise, when we don't weaken, when we defend the truth of God's timeless word, when we are willing to put ourselves and our reputation on the line for the sake of Jesus Christ, suffer ridicule, mocking that will certainly come from the world and those in the professing plastic church, it is the Lord that will fight alongside us. It is the Lord who will vindicate us and give us the victory. That's his promise. The Lord gave them victory. He gave them a wonderful deliverance. We are at war. Within much in the church, there are messages that are just promising health, wealth, and greatness in this life. But what is happening, spineless Christians who have no fight in them, who do not know the word of God, and they think that blessings will just fall into their laps as they saliva at the feet of the apostle and the prophet. But we cannot seek a peace treaty with the enemy. He will never, ever honor your terms of surrender. You will just become a victim. But friends, and I want this, please the Lord, he really did impress this bit on my heart. First of all, friends, I thought it was just for me. I really did, because I needed to hear something from the Lord. You see, friends, I don't like it when people perhaps take offense and say things, but I don't stop loving them. People have rightly taken offense with some of the things I've said. I hope they can forgive me. I hope they can still love me. Sometimes it takes time to heal. But I long for reconciliation. I long for reconciliation. But it has to be on God's terms and not mine and not yours. It has to be biblical. When we are faithful, when we honour the Lord in the little things, when we look on that small plot of barley, that small field of barley, as David and Eliezer did, and we are determined that we will defend the truth, we will defend our morals, we will defend biblical values, risking persecution, mockery, even our lives, we have this promise that those who stand with him on his side in the battle have the absolute assurance that he, God, stands with them. And then we remember that the battle isn't ours anyway. It belongs to the Lord. And he stands with us, empowering, strengthening, and anointing. And although the enemy, and although those things which seem so big, those mountains so gigantic, those circumstances which you have faced, and the church's face seem so much bigger and outnumber us, it is the Lord who will give a mighty victory and deliverance. That's God's promise. Eliezer and David took their stand in the middle of the plot of barley. They defended it. The Lord gave them a great victory. Let us stand our ground in faith. After all, you have been crucified with Christ, and you no longer live, but Christ lives in you. The life you live in the body, you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. Stand your ground. See what mighty victory God is going to do in your life, your family, your place of work, in this church, where you have given ground, where the locusts have had a good old feed, the Lord will restore, and I believe will give you even more than you lost. Do it God's way. Amen.